Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Talking with Heroes talk show program. I am Bob Calvert. I am your host and also the founder of Talking with Heroes talk show program. Honored to be able to host another program. For those of you listening for the very first time, our website address is www.talkingwithheroes.com. Plus, we have an online news site, thankyouforyourservice.us. Again, for those of you listening for the very first time, we've actually been on the air since December 2005. And basically, for about the first year, we were doing an over-the-internet audio program like we've been doing now for a couple of years. And but from 2006 to 2011, everything we did was video on 5 trips to Iraq and 3 to Afghanistan, documenting with our troops pretty much mostly their unheard positive and progress stories, what they were doing over there to help the people. So we spent a lot of time when we were over there out on missions with them, out in the villages, talking to the local people and filming. And all those video episodes, actually over 300, are now on our YouTube page. And what's amazing is to watch how it's growing, especially in the last 4, 5, 6 months, 2,000 and 3,000 a month, just new people or people watching more programs, 274,177 as of yesterday. I will be so excited to see that go past the million, because I'll know that our troop stories are really getting out across America. Well, last year, we agreed to a strategic partnership with an alliance of military support groups. It's www.alliance.org. Most of these organizations are led by veterans or military families, caregivers, or civilians like myself. I'm military family with my daughter, my son-in-law was in the military, my brother's still in, my dad was a World War II veteran. Most of them led by people who are what I consider, and a lot of people consider, our big military family. And basically, all of us, we can set aside politics when it comes to supporting those of our men and women who have served and are serving. And R4 Alliance, when I first met them, they had 19 members. Now they have over 50 members. They're growing really fast, including some more strategic partners like RallyPoint.com. They have over 550 members strong. And so we've been interviewing their members every Thursday night. We've had over 30 programs as of today. And if you've missed any of them, go to our news site, thankyouforyourservice.us, and there's a story in a left column entitled TalkingWithHeroes.com features new programs with members of R4Alliance.org. On this program, it's an honor to talk to another veteran, a Navy veteran like my dad was in World War II, another member of the R4 Alliance. Tonight we're going to be talking to Virginia. She is a 20-year Navy combat commander veteran, and she's also the co-founder of the Breath Wellness Foundation, www.thebreathcenter.org. Welcome to the program, Virginia. Thank you for your service. And please start sharing a little bit about yourself. Maybe start back being in the Navy.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. I really appreciate the opportunity to share my story. Just to clarify, I am a 20-year career naval officer. All 20 years were spent as a medical service corps officer. And a combination of, peacetime, wartime assignments. So I came into the Navy back in 1988 when there were a lot of organizational changes going on. More women were coming into combatant ships and vessels in military in general. But from the medical perspective, my career highlights have been around some of the peacetime efforts and humanitarian efforts that were done on board the two hospital ships that we have, the USNS Comfort and the USNS Mercy. So I was part of a couple of humanitarian missions that really opened up my understanding of why we do the work we do, looking at countries like the former Soviet Union countries, when we were doing some international exercises, knowing that we were a very strong presence, even if we were a white ship with a huge Red Cross. So 20 years in the service, married to a naval officer who spent 24 years in the service. He is a surface warfare officer by training, so he did spend a lot of time on ships, also headquarters command. So I was assigned to the Marines twice in two different assignments, one as a lieutenant and another one as a lieutenant commander. So I retired at 20, as an 05. Actually, I could have continued my path in the military, but my husband developed a serious Gulf War disease that cut his pretty much his chances of having an enjoyable retirement. So he went very quickly from the diagnosis to quadriplegic, and he's on a wheelchair now. He's been paralyzed for 10 years. So, yeah. So that was kind of at the beginning of understanding what many families, military families, go through. Caregiver, mother, raising kids, family. So that kind of gave birth to this idea of giving back to the community, to the military community, by sharing our own story. Born, the nonprofit was born as a result of that.
I want to say first thank you to your husband too. I didn't realize all that. How's he doing now?
You know, he actually has outlived the prognosis and the diagnosis. He was given 10 years ago, he was given 18 months to live.
Wow.
Because it was such a fast degenerative, neurodegenerative condition that he needed machines to breathe. And he made an extraordinary, courageous decision when he decided that he wanted to be around to see the kids grow up. So thanks to technology, he's still alive and has personally redefined the concept of normal for himself. But it's also very aware that without family support, he would have not been able to do it.
Right. So you've been on all sides. You've been served yourself, your husband, now you're a caregiver. I mean, you've experienced all these different parts of, unfortunately, being other aspects of military family when you have somebody who's, had illnesses or been injured. And is that kind of what led you to all this? Or it sounds like your Navy career kind of helped you with this too, leading to what you're doing now.
You know, that's probably true. You know, there is no crystal ball as to how we're going to end our days or walk our journeys. But obviously the Naval experience, Naval career experience in the Medical Service Corps gave me an opportunity to see and understand how we care for our military. And having gone through the experience as a caregiver of an individual that had a diagnosis that the current medical model had no answers for, that included the military medicine healthcare model, it was very disappointing to know that, wow, we know so little still about disease and illness. So I got very curious and I went back to my PhD to finish a doctoral program in natural health. And I began to see the light. I began to see that there are opportunities for health and wellness without having to fix or cure symptoms or conditions. So my husband is an example of what wellness is about because he has accepted where he is and has also emotionally and spiritually redefined what normal is. So this is what gave me the ignition or the fire to start a nonprofit that will help our military and veterans to understand that there's as long as there's purpose and meaning in life, that they should be able to hold on to that faith and continue you know, to continue to overcome some of the challenges that they return with, whether it's an invisible wound or a visible wound. I think there are opportunities to look at that purpose of why we're doing this. It may sound kind of poetic, but it is walking that journey as an observer, as a caregiver, observing my husband's journey, and also as a participant by looking at my own career and saying, what did I do that in the military that can help me today? And just, you know, evaluating your own life, plus learning tools that without the curiosity of learning and researching, I would probably have not been where I am today with a nonprofit doing integrative health for the, you know, for the servicemen and women that come to our center, to the nonprofit.
Wow. You have I'm looking at your background here. I mean, you have such a background in working with organizations, starting organizations. Talk about your organization now. I'm going to put you on mute here because I have a two-year-old here next to me.
Okay. The organization, the nonprofit is a 501c3, and it all started 5 years ago when I began to see the need in the community. We were participating in the local community in a lot of outreach efforts for the military, their families, and also the underserved population, and we were beginning to look at the role that health and wellness plays in healing. So it's a new buzzword. I became a board certified wellness coach. So we want to explore some opportunities to develop a culture of well-being and well communities. And I was doing a lot of pro bono work. So I decided that maybe if I turn it into a nonprofit, that would be a more effective way of securing funds and going after grants and having, you know, some local donors help move the mission of the organization. Well, it is so cute. Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I love it.
I apologize. My daughter and her husband called me at the last minute today, and they needed something short notice, and I have a two-year-old grandson here now. He's doing pretty good, but just so everybody knows, most people have children or grandkids, right? What I wanted to ask you about is you have on the stuff you sent me, it says your mission is to develop well communities. What does that mean? Describe that.
Yeah, there's a national effort to look at, you know, communities and how they influence the well-being of those that live and participate in communities. You know, from healthy to healthy markets, healthy foods in the neighborhood, to, you know, awareness of chronic illness and how communities can participate from the city government. For example, our efforts here at San Clemente, it started with 54 nonprofits coming together, talking to the city council and have them get involved to really say, you know, we want to be a healthy city to live in. And so the state of California launched a healthy eating, called a HEAL Cities, Healthy Eating Active Living Cities. And each city had to approve a resolution to be a wealth community. So we tapped into that effort at the state level and achieved approval of resolution for our community. because a lot of times, you know, we have local efforts like church, schools are not participating in this health and well-being. So well communities stands for that, that everybody within the community, whether it's the business owner, the restaurants, the way the city's streets are laid out, the quality of the water, everything contributes to the wellness of that community. So including our Marines, for example, from Camp Pendleton, to live in the community, you know, it was just the next step for us, and it kind of aligned my own desires to do something more for the military and their families. We are not there yet. We continue to work towards that by collaborating with other nonprofits, and that's why I got very interested in the organization, you know, Art for Alliance, because we have a lot of work to do, and it has to be grassroots. We can't wait for the VA to do everything. I don't think they're capable of building bridges fast enough to link with the communities. The communities are going to have to build the infrastructure to reach out to the customer, in this case, our veterans and military.
Yeah, you are also a speaker, right? And you speak on veterans panels?
Yeah, I get a lot of invitations from the local organizations. I've been in a couple of panels just in the last two or three months. And just 3 weeks ago, I was in a panel at a local community college talking about PTSD. And it was attended mainly by young veterans who are using their GI Bill, and very interesting questions. But it became very clear to the panel members that they are not interested in being over-medicated. They want to find other options for their healing, and so they don't get stigmatized, and people, you know, are not afraid of them snapping or getting, you know, all these different labels that we have. Even the word PTSD scares me a little bit, in the sense that we have we continue to put labels about people's, you know, like neon lights. And so I think many of them are not interested in being thought as a PTSD person. They want to just come home and reintegrate. So they're looking for opportunities to learn other techniques, including nutrition for the brain. A lot of them have questions, what's good for the brain, you know, what kind of foods. We also had, you know, questions on neuroscience. There's a lot of information on neurofeedback, for example. So they were very engaged. They really were curious, and a lot of them took my card, and they wanted to hear more about this, because we provide free services. We don't charge at all to the military and the veterans and the family.
So you are also, you're a diplomat in pastoral science by the Pastoral Medical Association, but you also are a coach and instructor with Heart Math Institute. We did a program for them last year. Why don't you talk a little bit about those two things?
Yeah, the PMA, the Pastoral Medical Association, is an ecclesiastical jurisdiction. They do bring clinical care by within the context of a spiritual Christian commitment. So I think it will be like the spiritual version of the American Medical Association, because what happens with a secular reductionist healthcare system, a lot of doctors are very, very, very hesitant to bring the issues of spirituality into the healing process. So I was able to identify better as a practitioner with the Pastoral Medical Association, because I am giving within that jurisdiction the opportunity to present mind, body, and spiritual issues into the coaching. Health and wellness coaching is a new field. It's growing fast. I think as a new profession, it will become regulated as well. So the first national board certification took place a couple years ago. I was a grandfather into that, and I think we're going to hear more about health and wellness coaching. Duke University has a program University of Arizona. There's several universities now that offer the health and wellness coaching program. So we're going to see more of that. What I would like, one of the things that I envision is to be able to have a career path for veterans on health and wellness.
Right.
And be able to bring that program within the R4 Alliance and make it a grassroots effort. Now, I am going right now through a program at Duke University for integrative medicine, and one of my classmates is a top physician at the VA. And we've been talking about, you know, how great it would be to have health and wellness coaches that are veterans that come into the
Absolutely.
System to help others. Yeah, but they're going to have to make some changes in the way that the labor laws work and you know, coming up with codes, position codes that you know, have all these other layers of bureaucracy that need to take place. So we will not see that right away. For now, it's just a buzzword that is heard within the VA system. You hear it more in the military healthcare system, because the traditional health promotions officers now are becoming health and wellness coaches. But you will see more of that, schools gravitating to programs like that. And making money is another opportunity for organizations to make money. But I would like to have, my vision is that through the nonprofit, we're able to get our own veterans trained on becoming, you know, peer-to-peer wellness health coaching. And they don't have to be clinical people. See, that's the beauty about coaching. You can coach in different levels of health and well-being. So more work to do there.
Right.
In that, you know.
But you are a PhD too, right?
Yeah, I have a doctoral degree in natural health and wellness. And this is a field, too, that is emerging. A lot of more programs are out there offering doctoral degrees, education, you know, health educators. There's a lot. I see, you know, the International Coaching Federation is putting programs. But I see it more at the university level, programs that are really getting formalized as a field. But the natural piece, you know, the reason why I went into not just purely health and wellness as a degree was more because I wanted to understand mind, body, and spirit, an integrated model, and the content of that model, what it meant to have natural health. What does it mean? It means, you know, eating healthy foods, eliminating, you know, foods that are not going to help your metabolic problems like diabetes, obesity, hypertension. So I needed to pick a program that will have a more naturopathic path, and that's what I did through Clayton College. Now, they are, they filed for bankruptcy back in 2010, unfortunately. They're a great school. They were around for 25 years. But I see the new programs are emerging across the nation besides the naturopathic training, four-year clinical training schools that are already, you know, producing a lot of NDs, naturopathic doctors. You know.
Right. Well, interesting thing of me sitting here, I interview all these R4 Alliance member organizations, and I've heard over and over again the research that is coming out of these organizations, the statistics, tens and tens of thousands of men and women who have served are being helped. I mean, you can't ignore that. It's the programs work. And that's what you're talking about, kind of get it out more, what, mainstream, and which, is that right, or? Virginia?
Yes, I'm here. I am writing, I was approached by an Army veteran, who's a young, really young veteran. I think he's 27, 28, and he says, you know, I heard about you. I want you to be my co-author of my book. And so we talked a little bit about it, and I say, why do you want me to write, what is it that you want me to help you with? And he says, I was cured, and he used the word cure, and I'm always very cautious about that. But he says, I was cured from PTSD using homeopathic, medicine. So I said, wow, and how did you learn all that? He said, on my own. So he asked me to write three chapters of his book, and so we are, you know, we're wrapping up right now, and hopefully we'll get a good publisher. But the book is really, you know, the pieces that I have to work on is just basically giving people an understanding of what natural healing looks like and what are the means and opportunities. You know, if you eat healthy, you know, if you eat healthy, your brain will function better. If you have been diagnosed PTSD, but if you eat healthy, you will contribute to the healing. So we look at that, you know. And also if we have other interventions that are not necessarily medicine, pharmaceuticals, there's a strong science on, you know, backing up EMDR as a therapy, therapeutic modality. We have neurofeedback, biofeedback. Heart math is amazing. It was one of the first tools I learned to be resilient. If it hadn't been not been for heart math, I wouldn't be here talking 10 years later as a caregiver. I would have been totally drained, depleted, unable to sleep. So I know that a lot of these tools work because they worked for me and my family. Yeah.
Exactly. So how do people reach you? I mean, do you have veterans call you for help? Do you have people calling for volunteers? And if you do, how would they contact you?
Well, we have a center, a physical center located here in San Clemente. And we have a number and a website if you want me to give that out. The website is www.thebreathcenter.org. And the number is 949-584-1942. We get a lot, you know, we get referrals from the active duty side of the base, we get referrals from different centers and also from the chaplain's offices. And usually those referrals are presented to them as an option to not go to the whole issue of a stigma. You know, there's people that are just beginning to recognize that are having some issues with sleep, that they want to get better before they leave the service. Those individuals are coming on their own with their wives, sometimes domestic violence, you know, issues that have to do with reintegrating into the family. And they just, you know, they just call and say, you know, chaplain so-and-so, send me, and I want to know what you do. So I invite them for a visit. We do a little tour, some, you know, hands-on with the equipment that we have. We have two acupuncturists here as well. And we offer classes from time to time in the community so they can come and attend. But it's open to military veterans of the most recent war, OIF, OEF, and some Vietnam era. We want to really reach out to the younger ones. And then we go and lecture. I go a lot. I get invited to lecture a lot, including the organization is that, you know, the national AMSA is called AMSIS, and that they are the military surgeon generals and federal agencies. I spoke at their annual conference twice. So that's just to get the word out. We need to get the word out. We need to really push the system to start embracing integrative health in a different way.
Exactly.
And I'm hoping that through the Duke University program that I'm attending now, we'll be, you know, I'll be able to leverage a little more networking with people that have decision-making power in some of the areas.
Absolutely.
Our organizations. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for all that you're doing. By the way, you can also be found on Facebook, the Breath Wellness Foundation. That's what they put in to find you on Facebook. Well, thank you very much, Virginia. I really appreciate this, you being on the air with us tonight. Would you like to give a shout-out to the troops?
Yes. Shout out to all those troops that are serving our country in the most dangerous times of human history. Shout out for the men and women, for their families, and for all of those who have served. Hang in there. There's light at the end of the tunnel. I always send good energy and prayers your way.
absolutely. Well, thank you very much. I hope I'll get out to the West Coast someday and actually meet you in person, do a video program with you. That would be really great, right in your office.
I know. Well, thank you. Nice.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I haven't been out to California in a long time, since like the early 90s. It's too long.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you. We are here.
I can always help you with your own coaching if you ever need it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that very much. Well, thank you again for your service to our country. Thank you for serving, because I see this so much over the last year, veterans helping veterans, and that's what you're doing, and we really appreciate that very, very much. So thank you very much for being on the program today.
And thank you, Bob, for doing so much and putting so much of your own time into these programs to raise awareness. Thank you.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to do this. I do it as long as I continue doing it. Well, folks, you've been listening again on TalkingWithHeroes.com. We've been talking to Virginia. She's a 20-year Navy veteran. She was a commander. She is the co-founder of the Breath Wellness Foundation, www.thebreathcenter.org. As I always ask people to do at the end of a program, please share about this program with other people. Many of you listening, you know somebody that might benefit from this program or from one of the other members of our four alliance. So please share the program to all of our men and women who are serving. Like Virginia said, especially in harm's way, we have men and women in so many different places right now. Be safe. Stay alert. Stay tuned on thankyouforyourservice.us or talkingwithheroes.com to find out about our next programs. We're booking on programs all the way into May, including we'll be in D.C., Andy LaPointe, his son Ryan, and myself, for the Face of America Ride event with 600 riders, including about 150 severely wounded, organized by worldteamsports.org. We'll be there. I believe it's April 23rd and 27th. We'll be doing a video talk show event, so they will go on YouTube. Well, thank you very much. Again, thank you to our veterans. Be safe. Stay alert. God bless you. God bless America.